From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 116 with guest Mitch Jarvis. Mitch Jarvis, recorded Thursday, April 28th, 2009. Run As Radio is produced each week by Plop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow the boys on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. You're listening to Run As Radio. With me, as always, my co-host, Greg Hughes.
Hey, everyone. What's up, Richard?
Oh, things are good, man. No rest for the wicked. Keep plowing along here.
Very good.
We're into summertime, so there's not as many conferences and things. It's a little more peaceful. But the fall looks like it's going to be pretty frantic again. Tech Ed's in Berlin this year. And yeah. I don't know exactly what we're going to be doing there, but I know it'll be something. And PDC again this year. Like it's a crazy year as usual.
Well, you know, it's a no rest for the wicked, as they say.
And, true enough.
Nice to have some little bit of slow time in the nice weather, though.
You bet. Yeah, it's good to be home for a while. All right, let's get right to our guest. Mitch Jarvis is an IT trainer with a passion for community. Having founded and led two major Canadian user groups for IT professionals, he understands both the value and rewards of helping his peers. After several years as a consultant and in-house IT pro for companies in Canada, he now works with various companies creating and delivering training for Microsoft to its partners and clients around the world. He is a Microsoft certified trainer and has been recognized for his community work with the prestigious Microsoft Most Valuable Professional Award. He's an avid writer and blogs at both MitchGarvis.com and ITProToronto.ca. Welcome back, Mitch.
Hey, Mitch.
It's great to be back, guys. I haven't spoken to you in a while.
Yeah, it has been a bit. We saw each other at Tech Ed.
Well, we seem to run into each other at all of these conferences.
Yeah, fairly often. How was your Tech Ed experience? Where did you focus on?
I was spending most of my time in two areas. I was talking about virtualization, but I was also spending a lot of time in the Windows 7 deployment and management areas.
Cool. Yeah, Windows 7 is a great-looking product. I'm pretty excited about it.
It is beautiful. I've been working with it for a few months now. I just installed it on my new laptop, and it is flying.
Awesome. Hey, virtual machines is the topic of the day, specifically System Center Virtual Machine Manager. Why don't we start right at the top, sir? Tell us what we got here.
Well, as you know, Microsoft has been making a great big push into virtualization recently. When Hyper-V released last year, they proved that they were a real player in the field, not just a Johnny-come-lately. Now, with all of these different virtualization technologies out there, including both Microsoft legacy technologies and third-party technologies such as VMware, it's not going to be uncommon for data centers to have a mixed environment of all of these. System Center Virtual Machine Manager is the tool that you're going to want to use to manage all of your environments simultaneously. It will manage your Hyper-V, of course, but it will also manage your System Center VI3 parents. It will manage your Virtual Server 2005 R2 parents. And you do it all from one centralized console. So it's more than just the managing Hyper-V on one box.
Right.
So to be clear, what this allows me to manage is my Microsoft virtual machine environment. You're not saying that it allows me to also manage VMware, for example, if I happen to have that in-house as well, right?
Well, actually, that's exactly what I'm saying. You are able to manage your VMware machines. Now, Microsoft has made a big push on the interconnectivity and interoperability of these platforms.
Okay.
I want to be clear. This is not just a question of you can import or do a V2V migration of your VMware machines into a System Center environment. System Center Virtual Machine Manager will manage your VMware parents as well.
So you don't just pull stuff from VMware, you can take care of... Well, what does it mean to manage a VM in the first place?
Well, you're not just managing the VM. Managing the VM, you're essentially starting it up and going into it and doing whatever you would do in the actual server operating system. You're managing the virtual hosts. So if you have, for example, a data center with 20 virtual hosts with 60 virtual machines running on those hosts, you have the ability to maintain a balance and verify what goes where. You have the ability to see how things are running. With the performance and resource optimization, you can get alerts that say, okay, the resources for one machine has changed. It should be migrated onto another machine. You have the ability to deploy machines. You have the ability to say, okay, this, I have a mail server that requires these specifications. Just deploy it into a host group, and SCVMM will place it in the group best suited to the requirements. More interestingly, if you have a physical server that you want to perform a physical to virtual or P2V migration on, SCVMM will do that, but it will also say, okay, it will check the resources used on the physical existing box. It will do a test against your virtual environment and say, okay, of the 10 virtual host machines that I have, host box 6, which is part of host group 2, is where it is best suited or where we have the best use of those resources, and it will automatically do the migration onto that machine in that host group automatically.
That's all really cool stuff. Back to the mixed brand environment. So if there's a lot of IT shops that have a lot of legacy stuff sitting around on VMware, or they're currently using it. Maybe they've added in, or what often happens is, you have development groups or different teams that sort of, fire up their own virtual machines and sort of build their own host. In order to bring these things together and try to centrally consolidate the management of those, it sounds like, again, to clarify, does this allow me to manage the host environments for not just the Microsoft products, but the other ones as well? And if so, then what does that look like to the IT manager that needs to take care of this problem?
Well, first of all, the answer is yes. That is exactly what it lets you do. And I want to be clear. I would never suggest to someone that, okay, we have SCVMM. You can now deploy your Hyper-V on this box and deploy a new VMware VI3 infrastructure on that box. I think that would be a little silly. But if you have that existing VMware environment and you want to integrate Hyper-V, you can manage the two simultaneously. And what it looks like is very seamless. Microsoft recognizes the VMware machines. It recognizes the VMware infrastructure. And you will see the boxes and the physical host operating systems, the physical host machines, as you would see a Hyper-V host.
Gotcha.
All right, so it's not going to make new VMs in VMware, but it is going to allow us to manage them as a whole. I got to think that people get into SCVMM late, when their VMs are out of control. So how about enumeration? Like, can it help me just find everything I've got out there?
Well, if you're in that situation, what you probably want to do is, first of all, look at the Microsoft Assessment and Planning Toolkit, which will enumerate your entire environment. And you can set it to just say, okay, find my virtual machines, find my virtual parent machines or virtual host machines. And once you have that, bring them into SCVMM. But when you go into, assuming all of your parent or Hyper-V hosts or even your virtual server 2005 and VMware hosts are Active Directory members, when you have SCVMM running, you can literally just say, okay, search for virtual host machines, and you'll get the list, and you'll be able to bring those in without any problems.
So it's the assessment and planning solution that will actually help enumerate what you've got out there, and then you use that data to use the virtual machine manager to actually take control of things.
What the Microsoft Assessment and Planning Toolkit is going to do is it's going to search your wire. If you have Active Directory implemented, and most organizations do today,
right,
the VMM will search the Active Directory for virtual parents, and it will say, okay, these are the machines you have. Do you want to bring them in? I should mention that for SCVMM, it is strongly suggested that your virtual parents or virtual host operating systems be members of the Active Directory, but if they're not, it is still functional. you just don't have these same security issues, and you have to add another layer of importing a certificate before going ahead.
Cool. I'm thinking about provisioning, especially when I'm dealing with developers and they want test VMs for various things. This is where I get a lot of VM sprawl in my life.
Yeah, it makes you think about self-provisioning. You know, can you delegate provisioning of virtual machines?
Well, what you can do now, VMM has an entire library and template solution. So you can, first of all, create templates and say, okay, this virtual machine is going to have this hardware and this software. And when you need to deploy that machine, you just kick it off and it gets going. You can also create a machine from an existing system and keep it in a library so that when you have to provision a new machine, it's there. It has your Exchange server, or it has your .NET 3.5 or whatever you're developing in environment ready. And all of this is done with two or three clicks of a button. Just say new machine, go. Now, as in smaller organizations, you're going to have one person responsible for all of this. But let's face it, in a data center, you're going to have different people responsible. You talked about having developers who need to be able to provision their own machines. What you can do is create operator roles where, for example, Richard is a developer, and he is allowed to provision new machines on our lab environment only, and he's allowed to deploy machines that have the specs for, let's say, Visual Studio and maybe SQL and whatever else he needs. But he doesn't have access to my production environment, or he doesn't have access to deploy, for example, a domain controller. We can go into the authorization manager and limit the scope of what different operators are allowed to do on what type of machines.
Can you control the numbers? Because the biggest issue I've got is devs love making VMs, but they hate taking them away.
Absolutely. And that's very key because, like you say, server sprawl is ridiculous. I went into an organization several months ago that had four virtual parents, and that's perfectly reasonable for a company of their size. And they had, I think, 48 virtual machines, which was virtual servers, which was less than optimal for their environment. So yes, you can say this operator is allowed to control up to 5 machines or up to 3 machines. So when he gets to his limit and he wants to create another one, he has to go back and remove one of his old ones first.
That's the thing I need. It's like, I'll give you a couple, but after that, you have to take something away. Because generally, the number of abandoned VMs in a test environment stuns me.
But it's not just a question of sprawl. We have to take into account that in most environments, that sprawl has real implications to the licensing. We as IT departments can find ourselves very quickly out of scope or out of license compliance without knowing it. And for no good reason other than, well, we had guys who were overeager to just deploy more machines. They don't turn them off, which means they're still using a license.
Yeah, exactly. You just get sloppy with using licensing. Doesn't the license manager sort of help in this scenario that you, every time you spin off a VM, it's that machine now goes back and talks to the license manager and keeps track of where we are with licensing?
Well, I am definitely not a licensing specialist. I think that there are licensing managers out there. I can't speak to them. I think it is a good idea that any organization, I know that Microsoft Assessment and Planning has something integrated, and I think it's important that that organizations do use the tools available to them to maintain license normality or normalcy.
Yeah, and you're not the first person to say I'm not a licensing specialist. I don't know that any exist.
Well, there are people who say they are, but I think they're just people who have taken a course or have gotten bitten a lot of times.
Yeah, it's terrifying, and it's complicated, especially when you get in the scenario that's just licensing is complex. It takes a lot of cycles to get it right.
That's right.
Let's jump onto the performance side of this thing. So I can use VMM to actually assess the load across all hosts and decide where to allocate more resources or move VMs over to or provision a new host, that sort of thing?
SCVMM includes a feature called performance and resource optimization. Now, as we all know, System Center Operations Manager is the reporting tool that would monitor our environment. Now, PRO, or Performance Resource Optimization, is a feature of SCVMM that leverages the Ops Manager engine and management packs in order to do exactly that. It keeps track on a live basis of what is going on in our environments, where our resources are getting weak, and it allows us to A, automatically provision or automatically migrate virtual machines from one host to another based on those resource changes, but also lets us know where we stand when we do have to increase. It's, as we were talking about in the sprawl example, it's very easy for our people to say, well, we're out of hard disk, we're out of storage, we need to go back and we need to go purchase. Well, in this economy, nobody really wants to go purchase when they don't have to. So using PRO, you can evaluate your existing infrastructure and see what is available and what is being wasted, what they can use now.
So I can think about reallocation of resources and moving VMs or moving the load around in a production environment. What's the story in terms of high availability, if you will?
All right. Well, high availability has actually two implications. First of all, Hyper-V is, of course, a failover cluster aware service. So you can make your machines failover services off the bat. But SCVMM is going to take that one step further, and especially with Hyper-V R2, which is being released shortly, we will go from a quick migration scenario to a live migration scenario. So when you have a machine and the parent is going down, PRO will notice this, it will detect the critical state and move it over with a live migration immediately to a more available machine.
And this is quick migration, so it's not seamless. There is sort of a bump along the way.
Well, at present, there's a bump, but as I said, we're coming out with Hyper-V R2 with Server R2, and that will include the live migration.
Cool.
So today we have quick migration, and tomorrow, very soon, we'll have live migration, which is...
That's right.
Essentially, you don't have the same downtime. Even if it is a quick downtime, you don't have the same kind of downtime that you have.
Well, there won't be any downtime at all. As long as you are using shared storage devices, the machine goes down, the one parent goes down, the second parent brings it right up.
Right. So does this system have the ability to recognize like storage area networks or if you're leveraging that type of thing and then, you know, take that into account as part of how it manages migrating
virtual machines? Absolutely. First of all, you tell it where you want to store your virtual machines, and it will detect automatically, okay, this is not a internal hard drive. This is a storage area network, or it's a shared store on a separate box. And it will act accordingly.
Cool. Pricing. What do you need to own to actually buy System Center? And is it System Center Virtual Machine Manager? I know there's so many different System Center products. It's almost like it's the ActiveX of Microsoft servers now. They're trying to figure out which one is which.
Yeah. Well, for most production environments or large enterprise environments, people should really be looking at the Server Management Enterprise Suite, which includes VMM and Ops Manager and Config Manager and Data Protection Manager as a bundle that is a fraction of the price of buying each of the components individually. But honestly, the best thing to do when you want to purchase it is to speak to your software vendor or your partner rep and see how much it's going to cost you, because it will be different, as with all Microsoft products. How much does it cost? Well, it depends.
It depends.
Yeah.
It figures. Let's talk a little bit about the P2V features, because that to me seems very cool, being able to reach into a piece of hardware and turn it into a virtual machine.
Isn't that just like black magic?
It is. It's voodoo.
Imagine your old Windows 2000 boxes that have been running for 8, 9, 10 years, and you can't replace the hardware and you don't really want to spend the money, but you've got this application that the C CIO, the old CIO's nephew program when he was thinking of going into computers, but he's not supporting it anymore because he's now in med school.
That, yeah. But that's a fairly specific scenario you've painted there, Mitch.
That is actually a compilation of several scenarios I've come across over the years.
Awesome.
Of why we need to keep our old legacy machines that are sitting in the corner and growing cobwebs.
And in the reality is that that's what happens, right? I have a WinNT4 box. It works just fine, but it is decrepit. And being able to just pick that up into a VM so that the pain goes away.
That's right. And being able to take that. Now, I will say specifically that NT4 is not a supported P2V scenario for System Center Virtual Machine Manager. It is still nonetheless something that can be done, either by tweaking and migrating the hard disk and recreating the virtual machine, or, and I am going to use those words that Microsoft is always accused of ignoring, there are third-party solutions that will increase the benefit of your Microsoft virtualization scenario that will do that directly.
Oh, cool. So there is a way to pick up stuff that old. What is directly supported for P2V oldest? Is it 2000 and up or 2003 and up?
No, it's 2000 and up. As long as you have 2000 Service Pack 4 or 2003 Service Pack 1. It also, by the way, includes Windows 2000 Professional and Windows XP, as long as you have the more recent service packs.
Okay. So what actually happens at a P2V? Do you have to install something on the client that's going to be migrated?
It does it all automatically for you. It deploys a very small agent and takes care of that. Now, for some scenarios, and I'm going to see if I can bring up my slide, some scenarios are supported with live migration, so it literally is up on physical until it's up on the virtual.
Wow.
And the interesting part about that is it will maintain IP addresses. It will spoof MAC addresses because you dev guys like doing that too. You say, okay, this program is licensed for this network card.
Right.
And because I want to keep a stranglehold on my client, this is the MAC address. And if they replace the network card, they pay again.
Yeah.
So it'll spoof MAC addresses and migrate IP addresses and do everything automatically out of the box.
So literally duplicate the machine from the out to the outside world. That's pretty clever, actually. They just to hide that whole thing. How long does it typically take for the whole P2V process to go on?
You're familiar with the Universal Consulting Answer or UCA?
It depends.
That's the one.
Depends on how big the drive is and how much OS you got to move around, huh?
And how much is running and how big the hard drive is, and exactly, that's what it is.
How dare you ask that question?
Yeah,
Richard?
Silly me. Can we get a spectrum here? What's the fastest one and the slowest one you've seen?
Well, the fastest one is, of course, going to be the one with the smallest hard drive.
Right.
Now, I actually pulled up my P2V online versus P2V offline chart. So looking at that, I suspect the fastest one is going to be your smallest server that's running Windows Server 2008 that supports Hyper-V and is Hyper-V aware, that's running on your smallest server.
Right.
That's running no services. That's gonna go pretty quickly. But this process will take a few hours.
It is a few hours, though. I mean, this is not something you do in a few minutes. It's not a casual, boop, it's done, thanks for playing.
No, of course not. I mean, if nothing else, you are transferring tens of gigabytes over the line.
Right.
And unless you have gigabits or faster networks, that's going to take
a
pull.
It's just physically a lot of data to move. No ways around that.
Nope.
So in part, it depends on the network. Among many, many other things.
Ah, you're killing me. What about virtual to physical? The idea that I would bring a machine into the VM world, mess with it, and then push it back to the hardware.
Heresy. Why would you ever want to do that?
Yeah, it happens more often than you might think.
Who was the
speaker, Mike
Peckhead, who said that nobody should ever use virtualization? Well, the bottom line is people do want to use virtualization, and people do want to go back and forth. Now, Microsoft does not support that out of the box. And that's where the third-party tools, the one that comes to mind is PlateSpin, which is actually a Novell product, if I'm not mistaken, does that very nicely.
Oh, yeah, PlateSpinner.
So you're not stuck. It's not a one-way process. You may never go back.
Yeah, once you're in the virtual, we've got you forever.
That's right, the Borg.
Right. And you mentioned this, I think, off the top. There is a V2V migration. I can pull a VM across into VHD.
Absolutely. And by the way, V2V is not only for VMware products. It also will take into account Virtual Server 2005 R2
right.
and virtual PC machines that should be brought into Hyper-V. And those are all native to SCVMM.
It's all about just trying to get everything into that sort of Hyper-V scenario.
Yeah, that's right.
And Hyper-V is the, really, really a lean, fast, most performant version of virtualization I've seen on the Microsoft side anyway.
Well, look, there's no discussing. Hyper-V is a lot better than what it was, and it still has its critics. There are still people who say, you know what, I don't like Hyper-V because, and that doesn't necessarily mean it's true. But it means that there's a perception of it. I have not found any real issues with Hyper-V, other than the fact that, yeah, it is, you are taking a hit because of the virtualization issue. It's not more than 1 or 2% of a performance hit, but you can mitigate that by, instead of using VHD files, you can use pass-through disks. With a VHD file, you are limited to an encapsulated hard drive sitting on the physical storage device, whereas a pass-through disk you're actually leveraging, if you have a 15,000 RPM SCSI, that is the performance you're getting.
Right.
In VHD files are, let's face it, the same performance IDE and SCSI.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all the same. And same thing with just taking over, you can take over a NIC, and the NIC is now part of that VM. It's not virtual networking.
Exactly.
So, I mean, close to bare metal as you can get, which, I'm interested in your position on this. It's maybe a little off topic, but it's an interesting debate. So should everything be virtualized, or is there certain classes of systems that should stay bare metal?
I'm not going to say that there are classes of systems that should or should not be virtualized. But if you look at your environment and you say, okay, I have 10 machines running on the same level of hardware, and three of them are running at 15% and four of them are running at 12 or 20%. And one of them is running at 85% resource usage. That one you should probably leave alone.
Right.
But if you were to ask me, is there anything that you should deploy in a physical server every single time when you're deploying new? Not really. Until a couple of years ago, Microsoft recommended SQL Server, but that's changed.
Yeah.
Exchange as well. Oh, Unified Communications.
OCS.
Still works better on physical.
Right.
And anything that requires specialized hardware that you don't want to spend a great deal of time trying to create virtual machine drivers for.
Right.
For example, if you have those telephony systems, then you're probably better off on physical. Also, the one thing that we don't like is that USB doesn't work very well in the virtual environment just yet.
Yeah.
Give them a couple of years. They'll get that one right.
Well, and the new virtualization in Windows 7 seems to support USB just fine, but not that I've done extensive testing with it to see if it really works well, but at least it's supported.
It works nicely.
Okay, so maybe in R2 we'll start seeing the support for that sort of thing.
I wouldn't look at R2, but the next, maybe R2 Service Pack 1.
Right. Okay. And of course, the only time I care about USB on servers is I've got certain kinds of software that use dongles for copy protection.
Yeah. For that, I guess you'd have that issue. I don't know how many systems are still using those, but if you do have them, then it's legitimate. You've got to either find a way around it, and there are ways around it.
Yeah.
Or go physical.
Yeah, I'm trying not to violate licenses here. Where I ran into it is a whole collection of products in the clothing manufacturing space that live with dongles, and we just can't virtualize the stuff because we keep running into that.
Yeah, you're gonna have to wait for USB support on hopefully vNext.
Yeah, hopefully. Anything we missed on the virtual machine manager?
Well, let's see. We discussed that it supports cluster. There's also, if you've used Outlook Web Access, there's what I call the System Center VMM Web Access, which is the self-service portal. So you don't have to install the console on every machine that you're going to use.
Right.
Or if you have operators who aren't full administrators, rather than giving them access to the console, you can just give them access to the website. It's not a add-on, or it is an add-on, but it's included with the product. So it's just installed off of the SCVMM DVD, and it requires IIS 7, and it works beautifully.
So this is how the devs can provision their own test VMs.
That's right.
Beautiful.
Excellent.
I like that. I like that a lot. And that's about it, huh? I mean, this seems like a very simple product. I think everybody needs to have it, really, if you're going to run any substantial number of VMs.
Well, let's face it. If you have a single virtualization host and four or five VMs, you don't need it.
Okay.
If you have multiple VM hosts, whether it's 2 or 200, then you can manage them individually or you can manage them centrally. It's simple math.
Yeah, it's just this is just about keeping a mess.
You know the Microsoft basic rational dynamic model? Well, dynamic basically means working smarter and not harder. And that's what the System Center family lets you do. And SCVMM is no different.
Yeah, exactly. And a logical extension of this. I'm just glad to see us getting a handle on the sort of sprawl and management tools. Hey, is there nothing specific in VMM that I can't do anywhere? Like P2V, can Hyper-V do that without a VMM?
When you create a virtual hard disk, you have the option of copying it from a physical hard disk. So using that, you can then create the machine around it and make it work. Is it pretty? No. Does it work? Yes.
Okay.
Now, in Hyper-V, you don't have the library issues, but you can set up a deployment server that would do it all. So if I wanted a new Exchange server, I can just take my sysprepped image and deploy it onto it. It's not as fast. It requires more work. I happen to know a lot more about deployment than a lot of Exchange server managers do. So it can work in Hyper-V, but it will work better with SCVMM.
Right.
Managing multiple hosts, you can do it all from one MMC console, but there's no interactivity between server 1 and server 2. SCVMM supports host groups where, okay, I'm going to take an action for the host group rather than for individual servers.
Okay. Wow, and I'm looking at the licensing and pricing on the Microsoft site. This product is cheap.
Is it about $5.99 per license?
Yeah, the Enterprise Edition standalone, $869 US. And,
which isn't bad.
Yeah, and then the Work Group Edition, which is limited to 5 physical hosts, is $500.
Yeah.
I just think that's a bargain, really, for what it is. Why would you not have this?
You can run a heck of a test lab with 5 physical hosts if you're putting your money into the hardware, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And if you have more than 5 physical hosts, bumping up another $500 seems pretty reasonable.
No big deal. Yeah, that's a good point.
It's the cost of one hard drive.
Yeah. I mean, there's really no justification for it. I mean, the product's under $1,000. And that's not even counting if you have volume licensing deals or any of these other things that would make it cheaper. This is just buying retail straight up.
Yeah, it's not an... Don't forget, Microsoft really wants people using these tools. They're not saying, we want to make billions of dollars on SCVMM. They never will.
No.
They are saying, hey, we want people to work smarter, not harder. And we want to give them the tools to do that. And we want to make it easy for them.
It's cool.
For a small shop, I think, if I remember correctly, having looked at this recently, it'll even install SQL Express for you if you're not using a full-blown SQL server, right?
In fact, that's what I usually do in my test environment. It installs the SQL Express for the self-service portal. It will go in, it will check your prerequisites and install them for you if you're missing anything. It's cool. Really a very intuitive package. It's not like Config Manager or Ops Manager where you need an entire infrastructure and courses on how to do it. If you are given a CD and said, okay, go learn it, it's an hour's work.
Right.
If you're trying to do it in a work group environment, it may take 2 or 3 hours. But in the regular environment, it's an hour.
Are there any limitations if I choose a SQL Express option over SQL Server that I need to be aware of?
Those are database issues, but if you're managing more than five hosts, I wouldn't recommend the workgroup.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Right. All right, Mitch, I think we're just about out of time. Any final words?
Virtualization is where the world is going, and whether you are a dev or an IT administrator or a business decision maker, you should make sure that your environment is virtualized. Now, when I say that, virtualization has become a buzzword in our industry, and a lot of people use it without knowing the full implications of what it is. Make sure you know what you're talking about when you say, okay, we need to virtualize, because virtualization also includes your desktops and your applications and your with terminal services, your display. Virtualizing your servers is a way to cut your costs, and Virtual Machine Manager helps you to increase the cost-cutting benefits.
Very good.
Mitch Garvis, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Mitch.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's always a pleasure.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.